Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. My name is Johnny Tam. I recently graduated from the Department of Mechanical and Industrial Engineering with a Master of Applied Science. I was a colleague of Kevin's. Just as a disclaimer, my presentation doesn't really have anything to do with risk, but Kevin thought that this might be a topic that would be of interest to you anyway. So hopefully that it will at least inspire you in some way. My presentation is titled A Branch and Price Algorithm for Solving an Order Cutoff Assignment Problem. Branch and price is a very advanced decomposition type mathematical programming method technique. And an order cutoff assignment problem is a very unique product replenishment problem in supply chains. So here's an overview of what I'm going to be talking about. First, I'll describe the problem for you very clearly, and then I'll go over the branch and price algorithm sort of superficially. It is quite complex, so I won't get too intimate with it. And then I'll go over a batch of experimental results that were applied to several dozen sample problems that were created by us. So in our problem, we basically have a supply chain problem with one depot and a number of retailers. So we're going to call our depot D and R1 retailer 1, R6 retailer 6. Every day, these retailers send in, rather than one batch of orders to the warehouse, it sends in a stream of small orders that comes in throughout the day, from the beginning of the day up until the end of the day. And so this is what this dashed line arrows means. And each day, the depot sends in exactly one shipment to each one of the retailers. Now we're going to define something very important called an order cutoff for a particular store, to be a specific time in a day, such that only orders that are sent before this point from that store can be delivered by tomorrow. So say we have a network of 100 stores. And for a particular store, it is given a cutoff of 2 p.m. So the orders that come in from the beginning of the day up until 2 p.m., we're going to call that same day demand. And orders that come in from 2 p.m. up until the end of the day, when everybody closes, we'll call that next day demand. So same day demand is demand that if it is received by the warehouse by up until 2 o'clock, let's say, then this store will receive these orders by tomorrow morning. And next day demand is delivered to the store by the next morning. So on any given day, the same day demand of a store is delivered with the next day demand of yesterday, and the next day demand of today is delivered with the same day demand of tomorrow. So here's a visual example of the concept of order cutoffs and same-day demands. So let's say for a particular store, you did some data gathering and you determined that over a long sampling period, that on an average day, the cumulative demand of a certain store, it looks like something like this. So it's a cumulative function that begins from the beginning of the day up until the end of the day. Doesn't really matter what times these are. So let's say in our problem, we have three different cutoffs that we can assign to a large number of retailers. So let's say our options are cutoff number 1, cutoff number 2, and cutoff number 3. So that means that on an average day for the store, if we gave it cutoff number 1, then the same day demand amount would be SI1, and then the next day demand would be DI, which is like the average total day demand of the store, subtract SI1. If we gave it the third cutoff, then that means on a typical day, its same day demand would be this much, and the remainder would be next day demand would be this much. So the later the cutoff, the more of its demand will be same day demand. And we assume that stores will always receive DI units of goods per day. It's just that the proportion of DI being same-day demand will be dependent on what cutoff a store is given. And however, the proportion of DI that is same-day demand depends on the store's cutoff. And Same-day demand is better than next-day demand because it reaches the store sooner. It helps the stores maintain ideal inventory levels, and it reduces the risk. Oh, so it has something to do with risk. It reduces the risk of the store running out of certain items and thus suffering a loss in sales. So this is what a very tiny problem of an order cutoff assignment problem would look like. So here we have six stores only. These colored values would represent the same-day demands of the stores given the first cutoff in blue, if it has a second cutoff in green, and if it has a third cutoff in red. So these numbers are, you know, strictly non-decreasing, just like our graph from before. So in our problem, if say we determine that R6, retailer 6, should have the second cutoff, then that means its same-day demand would be 8. So our trucks must finish deliveries by the next morning, and the later the cutoff of the stores that it serves, the less time it has for traveling. So if a store serves a group of retailers that has a late cutoff, then that means it pretty much has to wait at the warehouse until all of the orders have come in, and then it still has to finish all of its orders by tomorrow morning. So that means if a truck serves a bunch of stores that has a late cutoff, it has less time to do its traveling. And there's also a rule that we enforce that says stores served by the same truck must have the same cutoff. That's just something that we enforce, otherwise the problem would actually get quite complicated. And our strategy is to treat this as a vehicle routing problem. Try to come up with efficient routes for our trucks to take so that it can spend less time on the road. If it only has to spend less time on the road, then it can leave the warehouse at a later time in the day. And then it can, in general, let us have assign more of let more of our stores have the later cutoffs. So this, our goal is to push cutoffs as late as possible while still completing all of our shipments on time. Because our trucks always have to finish all the deliveries by the same time tomorrow morning. And this way, the total proportion of demand served across our entire network, that is same-day demand, is as high as possible. So this optimal solution, or maybe just a solution for that problem that I just showed you, might look something like this. So here, I'm going to give these two retailers, R4 and R3, the third cutoff. And because it has a third cutoff, that means its route has to be relatively short, which it is. And then let's say I'm going to give these four stores the first cutoff. So that means the truck leaves the warehouse at a pretty early time, so it has plenty of time to do its delivery. So its route is allowed to be longer, much longer. And I should also, I forgot to mention, but in our problems, we always have a fixed number of vehicles that are available to us. And normally this will only be about two or three or four trucks. And okay, so that is the problem description. And here's an overview of the branch and price algorithm. So it all begins with a taboo search meta heuristic that generates a bunch of routes for us and also finds an initial solution for us. It gives this batch of initial routes to the master problem. The master problem looks at our big pool of routes and picks the best subset of routes and stitches it up to create our solution. And we have one decision variable that represents each route. So, and the master problem is a linear program. So it might actually have, the solution might tell us to have, our decision variables might end up, some of them might end up being fractional, which wouldn't actually make any sense, but I'll talk about that later. So more importantly, the master problem generates a set of variables called reduced cost. And these are values that are given to a subproblem that will help us find new routes that are potentially profitable. In a certain iteration of the subproblem, we can find at least one route that is considered potentially profitable, then it will add this route to our pool of routes, and it will solve the master problem again. Usually this loop and this whole process is called column generation, will iterate a few times. And once it gets to the point where the subproblem cannot find any, not even one profitable route, then it'll check whether the latest master problem solution was integer, meaning all of our decision variables were integer. And if not, then what we'll do is we'll create two new column generation problems, and I'll go to the master problem of one of them, and it'll restart this process for that column generation node, and then they'll have to do it for the other node. Now, if you do have a master problem that is integer, then you check if all of the column generation nodes. So a branch and price tree is a binary tree that consists of column generation problems. And if all of our problems have been solved, if not, then go on to the next one. And if so, then that means your optimal solution has been determined. So in our taboo search, we use these very popular moves called exchange and relocate operators in the literature. Exchange, so in the very beginning of our taboo search, we put each one of our stores in its own route by itself. And then we try picking them up and putting them into new routes, or picking pairs of stores and putting them in each other's routes, and in hopes of finding a better and better solution. And while the taboo search is traversing the solution space, it stores every single route that it encounters, and it puts and it stores it into our pool of routes that we collect that we'll give to the master problem. So a branch and price tree consists of column generation nodes that consists of a master problem and a subproblem. Master problem, as I mentioned, is set partitioning, meaning it has a pool of routes and it tries to pick the best subset to stitch together a solution. And then the subproblem creates routes by checking the feasibility of retailer subsets. So it exhaustively looks at all the different subsets of retailers, and it checks whether the capacity constraint is satisfied, the travel time limit constraint is satisfied, and whether the sum of the reduced costs of the stores in the subset is positive. And if it is positive, that means this route it can potentially be profitable, meaning if we throw it into our current pool of routes, it can help us find an even better solution than the one that we have right now. In the subproblem, out of all the checks that we have to perform, the travel time limit check is the most difficult to perform. A travel time limit check means, given a subset of stores, can I actually link these stores up into a route such that the travel time is less than whatever amount that you're imposing based on the cutoff of these stores? And with that, we use constraint programming. And so whenever we're finished a column generation problem and we have a fractional solution, meaning, for this route, that goes from retailer 1 to 7 to 21 back to the depot, we should do this 0.3 times. This doesn't make any sense. So what we do is we create two new column generation problems. So we're branching according to the Ryan and Foster rule. So in one problem, we'll say that, okay, so if I have one of my routes being fractional, which doesn't make any sense in real life, I'll take two of these retailers in this route. I'll create a brand new problem that says that these two retailers have to be on the same route, always. And then in my other branch, I'll say that these two guys have to be on separate routes. They can never be the same, because the optimal solution in the end has to be one or the other. Yes? It's a vehicle routing problem is basically a traveling salesman problem where each salesman can only carry so much stuff. Yeah. If you had so a vehicle routing problem such as this turns into a traveling salesman problem when the capacity of a truck is infinite. Then you only need one truck that will visit everybody. Yeah, but because capacity is not infinite, the truck will always have to come back home at some point. Okay, so here we get to our experimental results. We coded our algorithm in C++. And it called upon the iLog, Cplex, and Solver libraries. And we came up with 60 problems that have up to 25 stores, 3 cutoffs, and 4 trucks. These are actually representative of real-life problems. And these problems are based on capacitated or classic vehicle routing problem benchmarks. So these are just very basic vehicle routing problems where all you have to care about are the capacity constraints. So we went into the literature, we took a batch of 60 problems, and because our problem is more complicated than a basic VRP, we just randomly generate any numbers that we don't have that we need. So we have 60 problems in total that we created, 20 for two trucks, 20 for three trucks, and 20 for four trucks. So these are the computation results for the 20 problems that have two trucks. So you have 10 that have two cutoffs and 10 that have three order cutoffs. And obviously, as the number of stores goes up, the problem becomes more difficult. So therefore, the computation times go up. For all 60 of our problems, we give a time limit of 1 hour, 3,600 seconds. And if it doesn't solve it in that time, then we just say it times out. Unfortunately, there are four problems that where the branch and price algorithm was unable to find any solution at all. And the reason why is because if you go back here, now in the very beginning of the branch and price algorithm, the taboo search has to find an initial batch of routes to give to the master problem. And the master problem has to find a solution that's has to find a solution so that it can come up with these reduced costs to give to the subproblem. But sometimes, and I guess this is more likely for maybe a big problem, the taboo search generates hundreds of routes that gives the master problem, but because maybe a solution is so difficult to find that the master problem can't find any solution at all, whether fractional or integer. And in this case, this entire algorithm actually breaks down because it stops at this step. So unfortunately, we had four problem instances where this was the case, but don't worry, this didn't really happen for when there were three trucks or four trucks. Now you would assume that with more cutoffs, when you have three cutoffs as opposed to two order cutoffs, that the problem would become more complicated. So the computation times would probably have to go up. And it does seem like this in this table. But if you look at this table, this is not exactly the case, because when we had 16 retailers, going from two cutoffs to three cutoffs actually was solved much faster. And when we had 18 stores, it was unsolvable under an hour for two cutoffs, but solvable in about 45 minutes when we have 18 stores and three cutoffs. So, but again, as the number of stores goes up, the computation times go up. And compared to two trucks, the problems with we had just one more problem that was solvable when we had three trucks. And then we had four trucks, even more problems were able to be solved in under an hour. And again, as you see, as the number of cutoffs goes up, changes from two to three, it does not necessarily mean that just because the problem is more complicated, that it becomes more difficult to solve. And one thing important to notice is that, okay, so try to take a mental snapshot of this table right now. Now, if I switch to the table with only three trucks, every single number actually went down. So, and then take another mental snapshot of this table. And if I show you this table with four trucks, again, every single computation time went down. So that tells us that as the number of vehicles goes up, the problem becomes easier and easier to solve. So here are our three main observations. So as the number of cutoffs increases, the computation time does not always increase. As the number of stores increases, the computation time increases slowly and then sharply. So in all three of our tables, it appears that the computation times are quite, manageable. They're increasing quite predictably, and then all of a sudden it would sort of jump up like this. And same thing for over here. In this graph, a similar thing happens. You know, it goes from like 30 to 1300 or 235 to like 11 times that much. And then when we had four vehicles, so going from 18 stores to 20 stores, you go from 4 minutes and 22 seconds to more than an hour. And so the same thing can be seen here. So as a result, it appears that this branch and price algorithm does not scale very admirably as the number of stores increases. But one thing that's good to see that is that as the number of vehicles increases, the computation time decreases. And we think that it might be because that branch and price is good at solving a problem when the number of stores, when the average number of stores per route is not too much, maybe, you know, 4 or 5. So, but not when the number of stores per route is like 13 or something like that. So, you know, a problem of 20 retailers, but 4 trucks, that averages out to be 4 stores per route. That's more manageable for this branch and price algorithm, as opposed to 20 stores and 2 trucks, so 10 stores per route. So those routes are considered dense, you know, lots of stores per route, and routes that have fewer stores per route are considered sparse. And I guess it appears from our results that branch and price is better at dealing with problems with sparse routes. And that is it. Thank you very much.